Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Social Contract, a Commander podcast. I'm Mike Almond, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Alex Lepp. Alex! What's up, man?
Not too much, Mike, and I'm so excited because today we are doing our first patron request, aren't we?
Yeah, we got a patron who's been with us for a while, and they mentioned that they like the Deck Techs episodes.
Yes.
And you know what? If you like it, and let's be completely frank about it, you're willing to pay us to talk about it, guess what you're getting? That.
A Deck Tech.
So yeah, we're going to talk about what Scott wants us to do for this episode. But if you want to be like Scott, there's a couple of different ways that you can support us. You can go to patreon.com/socialcontractEDH or search for The Social Contract in their bar on the homepage. You can also check out the show notes for a direct link there, and also a direct link to our Discord server, where Scott and many other patrons and many other listeners are. There it's easy to ask Judge Alex for rules questions, look at cards that are fun and entirely underutilized, as well as suggest topics for this show, including this one. Alex, I'm very excited here because Scott asked us to take a Lundo the Seer and convert it to group hug, and then shared several different deck lists with us. Okay. So he gave us a budget list. He gave us what he said was a very strong Alundo with a small group hug package. I wasn't able to find that one, which is fine because, good, that just means that we're going to build it up.
Oh, we'll have our own group hug. Let's slow way down. What's Alundo? What is that?
Alundo is Simic value, but weird is kind of the way that I'm doing it. So Alundo the Seer, 2GB for a 3/5 legendary creature human shaman. With the ability to tap, draw a card, then exile a card from your hand and put a number of time counters on it equal to its mana value. It gains, when the last time counter is removed from this card, if it's exiled, you may cast it without paying its mana cost. If you cast a creature this way, it gains haste until end of turn. Then, remove a time counter from each other card you own in exile. So,
Mike, that sounds a lot like Suspend.
That's the thing. It is. But it's not.
You're right,
but
it's not.
Right? So we actually, this is one of the few times that we took as much time before we started recording to be like, all right, great. We have to have a rough draft conversation of this for me to catch up. So here are some of the major differences. Suspend, you also remove a time counter on your upkeep.
That's right.
Alundo doesn't do that. So all of the extra upkeeps and the Sphinx that gives you an extra beginning of turn step and all those things, they can be useful, but they're not necessarily going to be useful. At least they're not going to synergize with Alundo as much.
Right.
Does
this
that
is
check
not
out?
A proper Suspend deck, so
right.
You're not going to get those upkeep triggers. Using things that increase the number of upkeeps you get is not going to help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
So basically all of those cards that we would be putting towards Suspend synergy and upkeeps, we will instead be putting towards ability synergy and untapping.
Right. One of the other things, and maybe this does synergize with Suspend, but it doesn't synergize with Alundo suspending it, then remove a time counter from each other card you own in exile. That
yes.
doesn't say with Alundo this way. So if you're suspending other stuff, great. We're going to move that a little bit faster. But it's not going to be something where you can suspend something with Alundo. More importantly, and this is one that I didn't think about, and I'm glad you brought it up at the beginning, there's a couple of cards that, hey, Hypergenesis is one of our favorite group huggy cards.
Classic.
That's a non-bow with Alundo's ability. Because
yeah, you've
got to
be really careful
Alundo,
with this, Mike. That's a good
yeah,
point. So if a card
it doesn't
has,
have a mana cost.
If it has no mana cost, which means it can't be cast, which means you would have to suspend it from its abilities, you would think that would go great with Alundo, but that's simply not true, because Alundo is going to exile it with zero time counters on it, and then it says, when the last time counter is removed, you may cast it. There's not going to be a last time counter for it to be removed, Mike. It's going to sit in exile forever.
So it never gets casted.
So you'd better suspend those the normal way and just use his ability to remove time counters from them.
Which, good news. Alundo doesn't say, you know, reveal the top card of your deck or anything. It's draw a card, then exile a card from your hand. So as long as you're not, you know, hellbent, you're going to be able to kind of make some decisions and move forward.
Is Simic okay at drawing cards into hand? Is that like something Simic can do?
It can be.
Oh, okay.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of different ways to go into this. It was an interesting conversation at the beginning where it's like, man, I feel it's Simic value with a draw ability on the commander. Man, I just feel like this is going to be something that combos off. And like, maybe that's the way we build it. And then you pointed out, well, maybe, but there's also other alternatives here as far as all the untappers and things that you could do. So I'm kind of excited to see what direction this weird human shaman goes with. All in all, I'm excited, though.
Yeah, this will be an interesting one. As far as Simic commanders go, I don't think Alundo is really very near the top of the list. We can see right now that he's currently on sale for between 6 and 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there's a lot of just super... just steam train, run away with the game, ultra powerful Simic commanders that, I mean, I'm running one of them, Vanifar.
Sure.
And she could just be so powerful, or Coma, all these other Simic commanders. This just, I guess, didn't really register on the radar, and maybe it's due to the weird suspend, not suspend, confusing people. Maybe it's just not as powerful as those other ones.
I guess. We'll stop beating around the bush in a bit here, I promise. But the idea of, okay, what does, if I wanted to make a competitive level deck with this, there's even one there, right? Okay, great. I'm going to put a bunch of mana dorks. I'm going to put one mana dorks in here, tap, great, throw them out there. There's a decent chance that I'm going to have a decent amount of mana really, really quickly with this deck. And I know that's what Simic does, but to be able to do that, get that ability, put other thing out there, like, I think this can be Simic busted in a way that Simic is known for, but that's not necessarily what we're aiming for. How do we take this, turn it more group huggy? We'll have a link to the original deck list, and then we're going to have a link to some of the things that we've changed, that we've updated with the social contract kind of way. And I'm pretty excited about that. With that said, Alex, you're looking at my stream here. Where do you want to start?
Well, why don't we start with some of the things that make Alundo go burr? So let's talk about things that can untap, things that can duplicate his activated ability, things that just make him go better. Because
yeah,
that's the meat and potatoes of this deck, right? Is this is a deck that wants its commander, and it wants the commander to just do things a lot. And because of that, obviously, we're going to have a lot of other things we'll have to talk about, like protection and control. But for now, let's talk about the meat part.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Savala deck that I talked about not too long ago, where it's, hey, this deck wants its commander to do the thing, and it's synergized against the commander doing the thing.
And so also cares about untapping.
And it absolutely cares about untapping. So when you get into the different types of untapping, in the deck itself, there's a bunch of one mana cost. We're talking instants. We're talking a couple of sorceries. Mobilize is one on there that I never see people play, even though it's awesome. It's just green, untap all your creatures.
I've never seen anyone run that, yeah.
And it seems silly to me, because with the amount of things that care about tapping and untapping and being able to redo things over and over and over again, I mean, one of the first includes that we talked about putting in this deck is an Isochron Scepter. Because,
Isochron Scepter. We're running Dramatic
Reversal. Yeah, we've got Dramatic Reversal in there.
As well as any number of these single mana instants or two mana instants, those could all be imprinted on Isochron Scepter, Dramatic Reversal just being the most famous one. To just get those repeated untaps.
Right. So Dramatic Reversal, one and a blue, instant, untap all non-land permanents you control with an Isochron Scepter, which is two mana artifact. You play it, and then you can pay two to cast a spell that you've imprinted on the card, basically exiled with it. Well, Dramatic Reversal, you tap it to untap non-land permanents you control, which includes Isochron Scepter. So if you have the ability to generate two mana with something other than a land, great. You can now untap all of your non-land permanents infinitely. Yeah, in the worst case scenario where you don't have that combo, mobilize, untap all of your creatures. Emerald Charm, green for an instant, untap target permanent. Destroy target non-aura enchantment or target creature loses flying until end of turn. Maybe we're not using that last one too much, but heck, untap target permanent, destroy target non-aura enchantment. That's not bad. There's a lot of untappers that are
Some deep cuts.
Ready.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about
Those
24 that's are already in
and
here.
And those are really interesting. Yeah. I think that if we want to commit that heavily, we just said, if you want to commit that heavily, then you're also going to have to commit pretty seriously into protecting the commander. Because honestly, without the commander, what are those untap effects doing? Very little.
Right. And that's not ideal. I mean, some of the first ones right off the bat, I mean, getting some hexproof, getting some shroud, less beneficial.
I don't see vanishing in here, Mike. I don't see vanishing.
We don't have vanishing in here.
You got to run vanishing to protect that commander.
We do love vanishing because we have blue, so we want to run vanishing. Swiftfoot boots, just to have them out there, I would be fine with paying the extra mana and giving haste to, hey, whether I'm on curve or not. As soon as Alundo's out here, pay one mana, get the boots on him to be able to tap and do the thing right off the bat and protect for the rest of the time. Very good. I mentioned Shroud. Lightning Greaves, I don't know that I necessarily want Lightning Greaves.
You need to be careful with Shroud, especially if we're going to be targeting our commander over and over.
Right. I mean, it essentially, if I can get something out onto the battlefield to put the boots onto so that I can do the untap stuff and everything like that, it makes sense for being able to move things over, but you want to make sure that you're not getting stuck. I'm not necessarily cutting Lightning Greaves, but it's on the maybe list for me. I mean, that could be,
even with the zero drop equip, that's still sorcery speed only. So if you have instant speed untaps you want to be using, if you're doing any kind of combo or synergy, that can just start to lock you out. So you do have to be careful with that. Illusionist Bracers, that's a big all-time favorite of mine. That's not for an untapper, but that is making that activated ability happen again.
Yes. And hey, that could be a Lundo activating again, but I don't think that's what we're necessarily trying to target with these bracers. It's putting things onto, you know, Kiora's follower or something where we can take something that's an untapper, hopefully something that can untap itself as one of the targets, put the Illusionist Bracers on there. So then when that ability activates twice, we're untapping the thing that does the untap as well as a Lundo or as well as something else to kind of synergize and give that over and over and over and over again combo until it's interacted with.
Right. Speaking of untapping other things, this is getting a little dry. Do we want to try to look for some untap effects that are a little more our area of expertise, a little more group hug?
Absolutely. Well, the first one I want to throw out there is Awakening.
Yeah, Awakening. Easy pick.
Here's the thing. 4 mana total for an enchantment. At the beginning of each player's turn, each player untaps all lands and all creatures they control.
Yeah, it's Seedborn Muse for the table. Love it.
Yeah, it's group Seedborn Muse with a little bit of restriction, I guess. But more importantly, hey, I've got a 4 mana. Alundo is going to untap 4 times. That's pretty cool, right? So being able to churn those cards at the same time, get the value out that way. And more importantly, if I, let's say I cast Alundo and I put, I use the ability and I put out, I don't know, Findhorn Hell is in here. So let's talk about Findhorn Mills. It's just a green 1/1 mana dork, okay? I do that, it's out there. Then everybody untaps on the next player's turn. And then I tap a Lundo and I put something else out. But I also remove a counter from the Findhorn Elves that I cast on my turn. Do I get to cast without worrying about timing restriction on a Lundo?
You do, because it's the result of a resolution of a spell or ability. And because of that, it is not checking for time restrictions. Now, there are special time restrictions that are printed on the card. For example, you might see a combat trick say, cast this spell only during the declare attacker step. You cannot cheat that with a Lundo.
Okay. That makes sense. So something that says it has to be done in blank.
Right. But a sorcery, a creature, an artifact, as long as the last time counter is being removed, and as the result of that ability, this is creating a triggered ability, a delay trigger. Okay. So it doesn't matter that the effect that you're trying to resolve is sorcery speed, because this is resolving as the result of another effect resolving. You're not actually casting it in that normal way.
Well, that makes sense then. All right. Well, then I'll tell you what. That is a group untapper, I think, is a good one. Obviously, you can throw Seedborn Muse in there. What's another kind of untap step that you think we're kind of looking for?
Well, careful, because we don't care about untap steps. We care about untap cards.
Oh, sure. Untap cards.
I see it in the deck list, and, you know, mostly people are not considering this to be a group hug card, but Intruder Alarm is a very powerful enchantment that is untapping creatures whenever a creature ETBs. That includes other people's creatures, but importantly, of course, it includes our things. And if we have maybe some cards pseudo-suspended with Alundo, we get that tap, the counter come off of it, and then we cast it in. Now a creature has entered Alundo, and all our other creatures untap, so we can really start to go crazy with that, Mike.
Not the key word here on Alundo, but if you're casting a creature with this ability, it gains haste. So
that's true.
Being able to synergize and be able to do, all right, great. I'm going to pseudo suspend. I like that. Pseudo suspend. A untapper with Alundo. That creature comes in later. When that creature comes in, I can immediately activate it to immediately untap Alundo, to activate Alundo again. So you get the you get the circus being able to go through on this over and over and over again, which is very cool. I like that.
That's really nice for your mana dorks and for your little bitty untappers, because you know that's the one downside of a mana dork, right? Is it's basically a tap land because it is summoning sickness. But not with Alundo.
Not so much. No, I dig that.
Yeah, I see I see some of those classic Instill Energy. See that in there. Just one of those older auras. Enchant the creature, and once per turn you can pay zero and untap it. I think we saw that in Mike's Silvala deck as well.
Oh, yeah. That one is in there. There's another one. I can't even remember it off the top of my head. But the two green... one for a green that are both based off of untapping this once on your turn. I'm gonna pay one green mana to enchant Alundo to do it twice. It's basically a very weak form of illusionist base bracers, but I mean it's one mana. I'm not gonna argue with that.
Yeah, illusionist bracers is really nice, because whether we want to do two untaps and tap them twice, or we want to get his ability twice per time that he's untapped, however that ends up panning out, we'll be able to get strong advantage on that.
For sure. Let's talk about a couple of different things. Okay. So we're looking for creatures, right? I mean, typically in this kind of scenario.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be creatures, but sure.
Alex, I'm doing a lead-in thing.
Oh, okay. It has to be creatures.
Yeah, for this specific one. You know what I'd really like to be able to find? What? I'd really like to be able to find whatever I want. How about we put a Noble Benefactor in this?
Yes, game? Noble Benefactor.
And I specifically want to play this Noble Benefactor with Alundo's ability, so everybody can see, hey, I'm going to give everybody the opportunity to tutor for a card in a bit here. Everybody
now,
be cool.
Remind me, Noble Benefactor when it ETBs or when it dies?
When it dies. But I want everybody to see that it's coming down the line, right? I kind of want to run a reverse rattlesnake with Alundo if I can help it in some cases. Hey, this is not the big scary thing that I'm casting.
This is the friendly snake.
And I'm going to hurry. This is, hey, look, guess what's coming? If everybody's cool, we'll get a Noble Benefactor.
We'll get two for three mana.
Yeah, we'll get a Veteran Explorer. Exactly. Stuff like that. Tempting Worm. Absolutely, this is going in this deck.
Yep.
Because
it's
I think
down
that's
the
hilarious.
Line. Two could be two turns. It could be the same turn. You don't know.
It could be the same turn. It just kind of depends on the board state.
Right.
With that, I'm all for it. Borderland Explorer. When it enters the battlefield, each player may discard a card. Each player who discards a card this way may search for a basic land, put it in their hand, put it in their ribbon. It's not great. But is somebody having a hard time? Are you having a hard time? Do you want to discard something because it's not the stasis that you're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Druid of Purification absolutely goes in this deck on the opposite way. Yeah, that's a great one. We don't want to have too many rattlesnakes, but how about the most rattly of rattlesnakes? Druid of Purification, 3 and a green for a 2/3 human druid. When Druid of Purification enters the battlefield, starting with you, each player may choose an artifact or enchantment you don't control. Destroy each permanent chosen this way. You've got the ability to kind of hold off, depending on the actual board state. You have the ability to hold off on when you're activating a Lundo and kind of going down the Turing machine, down the line, to get stuff onto the battlefield. You're almost playing like a mini game yourself. And okay, I want to wait on this thing. Maybe I don't use a Lundo on my turn, but I could use a Lundo on your turn if you do something really messed up.
Yeah, I mean, that is the interesting wrinkle, right? It's typically suspend is giving you a very distinct clock. And while somebody can speed that clock up, it is definitely going to hit zero at some point and cast it. However, with a Lundo, you choose that entire, I mean, you're making the choice. Obviously, it's going to remove a time counter from all of your pseudo-suspended things at once. So you can make that happen multiple times in a turn. You could wait multiple turns if you're not trying to cast that thing yet. You're not at the mercy of the suspend timer like you normally would be.
For sure. I do love the effect that you could do something like, oh, I'm going to put a windfall on a timer here.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, if you got good stuff, get it out here now.
Just given plot, right? Given a little suspend plot. We're warning people about what's coming up next.
That kind of is what this does in its kind of own weird way. Because, yeah, you know how many untaps it's going to take for said card to come out. Because it's not like something where you've got it on the upkeep and it could be. No, you're completely in control with a Lundo as far as how long it'll take for the thing that you've plot, that you've suspended, that you've pseudo-suspended, that you've revealed. Which is pretty cool. I do like this.
Okay, well, why don't we move away from the untappers and into another category?
Where do you want to go?
Well, let's see what I have lined up here. So I do have a suspend section to see if maybe we want to run any cards with suspend.
Sure.
Or cards that care about time counters. So if any of these are leaping out, because that's the nice thing is even though it doesn't, even though he can't use suspend in that same way, if you do have a card that you have suspended outside of him, he will still help by removing those time counters. So he can get suspended cards in the game faster.
I mean, we kind of pointed at Hypergenesis not being it works with a Lundo. At the same time, Hypergenesis actually does work. You just have to cast it from hand. Right. And then a Lundo says, we're going to play it when we want to.
It works. You just don't get it immediately. You will have to do a Lundo's ability 3 times or wait 3 turns or some mixture of the two. That one one row up is potentially a little bit interesting. This Venser's Diffusion. Now, this doesn't normally seem like the kind of thing you would want to run, but it has a couple of options. It's an instant for 2 and a blue. It has a return target non-land permanent or suspended card to its owner's hand. So this can be some light spot removal, get something dirty off the field, or, I suspended that 10 mana spell. And I actually need to cast that next turn and I can't untap him 10 times. Could I remand that back to hand and then hard cast it? Yeah, so that might be like a little emergency for you.
Okay. No, I dig that. That's a good call. Any other ones that we're seeing on the suspend side that were
What about that 1,000-year clock from that set that we were looking at? Is that something we might want to run? It was way high. It's up top.
Way high. Scrolling up.
There it is, the Millennium Calendar. Is that something we want to run?
So let's see. 1 mana for a legendary artifact. Whenever you untap one or more permanents during your untap step, put that many time counters on the Millennium Calendar. You can pay 2 and tap it to double the number of time counters on the Millennium Calendar. And when there are 1,000 or more time counters on the Millennium Calendar, sacrifice it, and each opponent loses 1,000 life.
Yeah, that's so cool. I don't know if that's necessarily for us, because even though it does care about time counters, we probably aren't including a ton of time counters. I mean, what's up?
Here's the thing. If this is a deck that is comboing off, and hey, we are putting on
an infinite number of
or even just I mean, I don't know the math to get to 2 to the what? To the 10th?
Well,
to the 10th.
The question is how many doublings before you reach 1,000?
Right. Well, 2 to the 10th gets you 1,024.
Right.
So if we can get 2 time counters on this fairly quickly.
And then
quickly,
double 10 times.
And then we double it 10 times without doing anything else, that's where we're hitting. And I understand, hey, oh man, we're going to have to tap this thing and pay
this is the new Helix Pinnacle, Mike. This is the new...
It's not. Yeah. Which is harder, paying 100 mana into a card or tapping a card 10 times? Like, it just kind of depends on the deck, right? So,
right.
Speaking of which, we should probably put Helix Pinnacle in this deck.
Why is that? It doesn't even have time... It has what? Ascension counters? Helix counters?
It has Shroud. And it has tower counters. If we're putting in things like Intruder Alarm, and we're putting things in like Mana Dorks,
right,
that care about doing this,
you want to have those big mana sinks.
The amount of times that I can, all right, I don't have anything great in my hand that I can cast, but I have a whole lot of Mana Dorks, or I have a whole lot of things that untap where I can get more mana and do this over and over again. I feel like Helix Pinnacle absolutely does that.
That's a good point. I mean, if that being the case, we may want to look into maybe some mana sink options.
Yeah. No, I do like that. Doubling cube, probably. Probably. Oh, what's the Magus of the...
Candelabra?
The one where you can tap to untap lands and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, you can pay X into it and tap it and untap X target lands.
I mean, I think it's possible at that
point. You would need to either have the way to double up with like Illusionist Bracers. Mm-hmm. Now, since it is a Mages, you could do that. You would need to have lands that gain you more than one mana per activation. Or you would have to reduce the activation cost of the ability. Any of those would help you go positive on that.
I dig it. Something else, if we're going to try and untap a whole lot, and maybe not necessarily just on our turn, but on anybody else's turn, how do you feel about putting Vernal Equinox in here? So 3 and a green for an enchantment. Any player may play enchantment and creature spells at any time they could play an instant. So basically, just short term.
Yeah, I mean, in that case, creatures and enchantments have flash. You might as well want to run Alchemist Refuge so that you can have some mana sink going on.
I dig that, yeah.
I mean, I know that you're a big fan of Leyline of Singularity, and what's Josh Lequoise's card?
Vidalcan Orrery.
Vidalcan Orrery. So if we are doing untaps in other people's turns, that could be worth it. I mean, we do have to be careful about how high we want to build this house of cards with one card at the base.
Yeah. I almost look into it and it's like, all right, if we don't have a Lundo out there,
we are in so much trouble.
Do we have the ability to do everything else? So
let's obviously we want to try to make sure we have a Lundo out, but maybe look into some other simicals that we can be doing.
Sure.
When a Lundo is not out. How about some control options? How about some counter magic? We're in blue, Mike. We have our pick of the litter here. I mean, we have our classics, Arcane Denial. You'll counter a spell. Its controller draws 2 cards. Next upkeep, and you draw a card. That's one in a blue. An Offer You Can't Refuse. That's a new classic. That's one mana for counter target non-creature spell, and its controller makes a treasure token. Of course, we have that Swan Song. It's one mana, counter target enchantment, instant, or sorcery. Its controller makes a bird. What other counter magic is looking juicy to you, Mike?
So here's the thing. I'm looking at these and I'm digging them. I'm also kind of doing the thing where it's like, you know what would be really fun for me? I want to actually pseudo suspend some of these counter spells as the scary.
Zero mana. Usually suspending counter spells is really bad because you can't control when they come out. They come out during your upkeep. So unless somebody has foolishly cast a spell during your upkeep, but with a Lundo, you choose when the final time counter is removed, assuming that it's not, say, a suspend card. And that means that you basically have a counter spell on your commander.
Yeah. It's I understand it's not necessarily like the most It's probably not the best game theory of an idea. Mm-hmm. All right, great. I'm gonna tap this to suspend this spell just to be ready, just in case.
Yeah, I mean, and you do have to be with the number of plates that you're spinning, right? You might end up having multiple control spells suspended, but you can't since you have to decrement them all at the same time. You might find that might start to cause problems.
Well, then maybe how about some modal counterspells?
Yes, modal helps. Modal helps.
You find the villain's lair. It's an instant for one blue. Choose one. You counter target spell, or you draw two cards, then discard two cards. Cool. I now have a counterspell, and I do this. Okay, great. And I have it to where, all right, I might do this thing.
Right.
Or I might do the other thing.
We've got... we've got Cryptic Command and we've got Archmage's Charm are two we're looking at. Cryptic Command, that's a classic for one triple blue. That's four mana. It has four different modes. Sublime Epiphany, similarly, has four modes on it. Archmage's Charm has three modes on it.
Yeah. I like modal counterspells / protection pieces. That's
Warping Whale, but since we're not in a colorless deck, I don't think we need to run that one, even though I do love it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to pseudo suspend a seven cost. But again, with the types of ways that you can mess with a Lundo, maybe we do. I don't know.
Right.
It's in the maybe pile, probably. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. So that's a little bit of protection pieces. I mean, you can always, the standby. We're in green, so we can heroic intervention pretty comfortably.
Yes, definitely heroic intervention.
We did mention vanishing, which I do like for this.
Right, but we didn't describe it. That's one mana, I believe. It's one blue mana for an aura that says enchant creature, and you can pay double blue to phase out enchanted creature. And of course, when that phases out, also vanishing and any other permanent detachment will also phase out. It's a very powerful protection piece that will evade almost all forms of removal.
For sure. And then, whether Scott was just listening to us and found Pemmin's Aura on his own.
Classic Pemmin's Aura, yep.
Is just a well-versed, really good Magic player. We're going to take credit anyway because he's not here to take it from us anyway. So one of my favorite auras, one of my favorite enchantments, one blue for an aura that just has all of the abilities. All right, so for a blue, you can untap enchanted creature. That's pretty good.
Perfect. Yep.
For a commander that likes to enchant itself. For a blue, you can give it flying. All right.
That's not nothing.
For a blue, you could give it shroud. There we are.
Yeah.
And then for a colorless, enchanted creature gets +1/-1 or -1/+1 until end of turn. So the worst case scenario, great. I'm going to give it flying and I'm going to turn it into a 7-1.
You could potentially pump it up. Yeah, you could potentially turn it into a 7-1. You could turn it into a 1-7 or what have you. You could untap it. Pemmin's Aura is a very, very powerful sort of modal aura. I really like that one.
Yeah. No, it's a wonderful card, and the stuff that I'm, sitting here making jokes about are also, they are number 3 and 4 of the most times that you're probably going to activate it on this. I mean, untap enchanted creature, great. Pay a blue. Do the Alundo thing again. If you do that with a dork, perfect. You're going to be able to pay for it because that dork is going to come in with haste. Awesome. Right. I like it. Being able to protect things is good. Being able to do things is good. What else do we want to hit here, Alex?
Well, Mike, we do have to eat our vegetables and talk about the things we have. Now, we've looked at some of our ramp. I think mana dorks work well for him because, again, he can suspend them. He can get them out with haste. We can untap them. Now, keeping in mind that specifically Illusionist Bracers will not work with mana dorks because mana dorks have mana abilities. However, that is a colloquial term, and some of our mana dorks actually untap lands, which we can work with. So let's talk about some different options for ramp. Maybe if there's a mana dork you don't see on there, or maybe there's another non-mana dork option that you really like. I have a couple of green ramp pieces I really like to run. So let's take a look at some of these.
Sure. So, I mean, already in the deck, Arbor Elf.
Yeah, Arbor Elf, very powerful green effect.
Green for a 1/1 that untaps target forest. Great.
Careful when you read that. It untaps target forest. It doesn't have to be ours. We could untap our opponent's forest. We can give them a mana. That's so useful.
Yeah, like that. What are some of the ones you've got?
Well, let's take a peek through this list I have here.
Okay. Do.
So Rampant Growth is always a solid budget option. Farseek, also a very solid budget option.
Birds.
Three Visits and Nature's Lore are starting to become more recognized, and I respect that. Because those are cheap ramp options that do not enter tapped. Very nice.
Yep. Dig that. Man, I do love the idea of having an Ashnod's Altar in there. All right, I'm going to have this artifact out here. I'm going to pseudo suspend Land of War Elves or an Elvish Mystic. I'm going to on my next turn, I'm going to do the thing again, play an Elvish Mystic, tap the Elvish Mystic for mana because it comes in with haste. Then I'm going to sacrifice it to Ashnod's Altar, so I'm just going to make 3 mana and basically dart. I'm going to Alundo Ritual on my turn.
No, that's definitely an option, especially if you were trying to run some graveyard stuff going on there.
Sure.
There's Arbor Elf. I do thoroughly enjoy Lotus Cobra. I understand that people know of it. I don't know if everyone understands just how strong it is.
No, it drives me nuts because it's one of those, I like that card a lot. And it's one of those things where I feel like if I have it and I'm playing at my optimum level, I'm still only going to get it right 80% of the time. That I'm like, I should have done this first and then I would have gotten the landfall from that.
The amount of mana that you get off of it, especially in a deck that really can handle getting you some mana, is very, very effective.
Yeah, and for the cost and everything along those lines, so good.
Now, this is not a budget option at all, but we just scroll past Delighted Halfling. That has definitely made some waves. Very powerful mana dork. It's 1 green mana for a 1/2 halfling citizen with tap at a colorless and tap at 1 mana of any color. Spend the mana only to cast a legendary spell which cannot be countered. Mike, how much does that cost right now? That's a lot less than it was. Yeah. It was like $50.
In the $9 to $12 range.
Okay, that's a lot for a budget deck, but that's not a lot to convert to what I thought it was.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was the same. Like,
okay, that's definitely a more expensive mana dork, but definitely worth it. Especially if people know your commander, maybe they don't want you to pop off. Given kind of Boseju effect, can help you out a little bit.
It's pretty solid. I'm on the same page that you were. Or it's like, I don't know. Okay, you're sure. Yeah. Oh, I do love.
Bear Umbra is a solid option.
Bear Umbra. I was going to say Rishkar. If you could get it, and we're not building to our +1/+1 synergy kind of level.
No, we're not.
But if you have any counters on anything, there we go. Then they can start turning into
many of our creatures are in fact mana dorks already.
Yeah.
Carpet of Flowers, another card that's super powerful, but I don't know if everyone understands just how powerful it is. Super
Read
strong.
It out, man.
Really quick reading that. That's a single blue mana. It's an enchantment. During your main phase, that's pre or post combat main phase, you may add up to X mana of any one color, where X is the number of islands target opponent controls. Now, to be clear, they do have to specifically be typed islands, not just produce blue. And the great thing about this is that, like, unlike so many cards of this kind, you can use it right away. You can play this on your pre-combat main phase and collect on it in your post-combat main phase. And then from every subsequent turn, you can choose, do I want to get that mana before or after combat? It's only a single mana. You have a very high chance of an opponent playing at least a few islands. It's incredibly strong, Mike.
And, I mean, it's another one of those, like, I felt like this was one of those, it's so expensive cards. And then it got reprinted.
It got reprinted in Doctor Who, so it's now quite a bit cheaper. I remember this being up there, and definitely in the double digits.
And it's on the list. It's on the Doctor. It's in the Doctor Who sets.
Yes.
And they, you know, and it's one of those things where, you know, 1 green for, hey, I'm going to make as much mana as you have islands. Whew.
Frankly, I'm shocked to see it under even under $10. So if you are a green player and you've had your eye on this, and even if you haven't, Carpet of Flowers, definitely pick that one up. It's a lot cheaper than it used to be.
I'm going to go ahead and pause the podcast for a second as I open that up into TCG Player and just have that ready to go for later. Yeah, I mean, heck, we're in blue. I mean, a high tide wouldn't be terrible in this deck either.
No, it wouldn't be terrible.
Just to be able to roll some stuff out. I do love the idea where it's like, okay, great. Let's get lots of people lands. I mean, we already mentioned Veteran Explorer as well. But yeah, Veteran Explorer, Collective Voyage. Well, we have Tempt with the Discovery to get everybody to try and get some more lands.
Grim Monolith is that's probably a combo machine in this deck because you have multiple untap effects.
Oh, yeah.
So that probably is ready to go infinite with several cards in this deck.
Yeah, especially, Illusionist Bracers or not, you're still going to be in pretty good shape to tap it for the three colorless that it provides, and then instead of having to pay that four later, just untap a Kiora's Follower or something else.
And Mike, I know you're a big big Battlecruiser fan. Nyx Bloom Ancient.
Yay. Giving Yay! You that 4 triple you green said it. 7 I didn't mana have to.
For a 5/5 elemental enchantment creature with trample. If you tap it a permanent for mana, it produces 3 times as much mana.
Yeah.
So all of our mana dorks are now tapping for triple green. That's completely bonkers.
Yep. I love the idea of this deck and saying, okay, great. I'm going to have a couple of haymakers that I'm putting in here, and I'm going to try and put them on the Alundo suspend.
Right, I'm going to suspend it, and now it is 7 time counters on it. Is that coming out in 7 turns, or is it coming out this turn? We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out, guys. We'll see. We'll see. I dig that. All right, very cool.
Yep.
We got some cool ramp
pieces. We got some solid options.
I'll tell you what. What do we want to go into next?
Let's do draw, and then we'll finish up with lands, and then go into our win cons.
Okay, perfect. Well, I mean, first and foremost, like, all of the everybody draw more cards, if you're talking about we want to make this a more group hug centered deck, okay, great. Rites of Flourishing going in there. Dictate a Crufix can absolutely go in here for upkeep draws and draw extra draws on turn, stuff like that. I feel like, all right, quick aside, Alex, we're putting this deck on the shelf for a second. I feel like a lot of people, when we talk about like doing Battlecruiser stuff, and we do group hug because the amount of value that you get and the amount of stuff you can do is really cool, and it's way more exorbitant. I can get away with some of my 3 mana, 4 mana average card cost decks because I'm doing group hug stuff, right?
Yep.
I think when people also see like the, oh, we're going to do this, and we're going to try and cheat out some stuff, we're going to use Alundo to get some extra cards out onto the battlefield a little bit faster than they normally would, because I'm tapping it to get other things out as opposed to having to tap all of my other normal stuff. That said, the idea of really just going ham with some things here, I want to value the entire table because I still have a way to take advantage of said value.
Yeah.
Am I on base there?
We want to make sure that we, at every opportunity, are adding group hug where normally it wouldn't be. For example, with our untappers, we're not just looking at our Seedborn Muses, we're looking at our Awakenings, we're looking at our Intruder Alarms. So that also extends into our draw and ramp packages. So let's definitely take a look. And I mean, we talked about Veteran Explorer, we talked about several options that can help ramp people. There's a couple of creatures that can really help ramp people, especially in green. There's a creature version of Elidonri's Vineyard. There's a snake person who does very much the same thing. Their names are not coming to me, but there are definitely some excellent options.
I'm scrolling. I'll get you, buddy.
There are definitely some solid options for ramp there.
Magus of the Vineyard.
Oh, Shizuko. Shizuko Color.
And Shizuko we've got for those two. Yeah.
It's two excellent options because you're getting mana into other players' hands. Very nice. I mean, it honestly, I find for the most part that I have to keep reminding them, like, hey, buddy, you know you have 5 extra green mana this turn, right? They're like, oh!
Which leans into what you're trying to do with the deck, right? Where it's, hey, I know that my deck is going to rely on these things, but you might not necessarily.
Exactly.
Know.
So my deck is built around taking advantage of how much stuff I'm making here.
Not leaning into the counters thing, but I do like the idea of putting Tribute to the World Tree in this deck, just because we're talking about putting a decent amount of mana dorks in there as well. So Green, green, green for an enchantment. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card if its power is 3 or greater. Otherwise, put 2+1/+1 counters on it. Hmm. I mean, that's not bad for being able to, all right, hasted 3/3 mana dork with untappy abilities, with. I don't mind that as a... The floor on that is, all right, great, this mana dork is a 3/3. The upside on that is, all right, I'm starting to cast my big stuff, so now I'm drawing more cards, so now Alundo is going to be able to do more stuff with more options.
Right. Yeah, I would definitely want to check to see what the spread is on how many power 3 and greater creatures sure. there are in the deck, but that's certainly, you know, there's no reason to just exclude it out of the gate.
It's an explore option.
I think that's having some of that top deck manipulation. Obviously, Sylvan Library is not very cheap, but especially with this commander where we are caring about mm-hmm. what we're drawing into, because that is going to influence what we are going to exile from our hand. We don't even necessarily need to be paying a bunch of life into it because we're going to start hitting those cards with Alundo's effect pretty rapidly. So that's definitely an option there.
I agree. I was kind of on the idea of the Thassa as well, the one where you scry one to start your turn.
Mm-hmm.
Scrying, I don't know that I lean into scrying with this deck, but the ability for a little bit of manipulation there absolutely doesn't hurt for being able to wheel and deal a little bit to get to where you want to. I will say one of the things that I saw. That I love as a win con in this deck is Triskaidekaphile.
Yeah.
Just because how often do you get to see that? It's like, well, I've got an untap draw card, or I got a tap draw card commander with a whole bunch of different ways to try and do that. And any deck that says, oh, how do you win? Oh, I win with Triskaidekaphile. All right, great. You win. I don't care. Like, you're already my friend. You've done a great job here.
Well, that's not the only way we have to win, Mike. I think we might have some other routes we could take to win. And I think I know the perfect website to go to.
Ah, oh, man. I try and look, but I have a hard time finding stuff. All right. Direct me.
Well, I think we should go to commanderspellbook.com. And okay. We should click the Find My Combos button. And then we'll input this deck list. And it will automatically find any infinite combos already existing in the deck, along with giving us a hint to see if we can get some more. Now, Mike, how many combos do you think are in this deck right now?
Well, don't ask me that because I already know.
Oh, it's a lot. Thing.
Yeah, like when it was, okay, we could do kind of things. We could figure stuff out. I'm like, I think this is a deck that can combo off pretty easy.
Yes,
just with
it
the
can.
One thing of Illusionist Bracer. Holy cow, it can. And it's not just Illusionist Bracer. So this combo as is. And Scott, I don't know if you know, but you probably know, but maybe you don't. Deck list that we already had, 18 combos.
18
found.
Combos before we've changed anything in the deck. So yes. let's pick out a couple of these, Mike. What really jumps out at you here?
Okay, so let's. I want to find one of the ones. All right, here we go. So small things. The first one I want to talk about is Shrieking Drake and Chakram Retriever.
Nice.
Shrieking Drake is a blue. For a 1/1 flying, when it comes into play, return a creature you control to its owner's hand. Okay? So, one mana, enters, bounce something, back to your hand. Chakram Retriever, 4 and a blue, for partner with Chakram Slinger, which I don't believe matters for this one. But it is a 2/4 that says, whenever you cast a spell during your turn, untap target creature. So, if you have Chakram Retriever on the battlefield, and you have Shrieking Drake in hand, and you control a creature that you can tap to produce at least one in a blue. Here's what you do. You activate the creature by tapping it. You make that 2 mana that you need with at least one of it being blue. You use one of that mana to cast the Shrieking Drake with that blue. Then it triggers. You untap the thing that made the mana. Then you make the Shrieking Drake go back in your hand. And you do this forever. You have infinite enter the battlefield effects. You have infinite leave the battlefield effects. You have infinite mana that for creatures you control can produce. And you have infinite storm count. We don't have any storm cards in here right now, but we absolutely could. And holy cow. I wanted to go with that one. Sure. Okay. So Next one here. All right. Sanctum Weaver is a one and a green for an enchantment creature dryad. It's a 0/2, and you can tap it to add X mana of any one color, where X is the number of enchantments you control. Good news, it is an enchantment, so you're getting at least one. And then Pemmon's Aura, we already talked about, one blue-blue with a whole lot of different abilities that each cost one mana. So, prerequisites. You have Sanctum Weaver and Pemmon's Aura on the battlefield. Pemmon's Aura is attached to the Sanctum Weaver. Sanctum Weaver doesn't have Summoning Sickness. Good news, if we use this with a Lundo, it definitely doesn't have Summoning Sickness as it has haste. But with this, you can activate the Sanctum Weaver by tapping it and adding at least two blue, as you have a Sanctum Weaver and Pemmon's Aura on the battlefield. That's two enchantments, two blue. Then you can activate Pemmon's Aura first by paying the blue, untapping the Sanctum Weaver, and you repeat this, you have infinite mana, done. Once you have infinite blue mana, you can activate Sanctum Weaver for an infinitely large number of times for all of the green mana that you could possibly want as well. It's basically a Freed from the Real on its own.
Basically, yeah.
By the way, Freed from the Real, also in this deck. Makes
That's
sense.
That's definitely going to be a part of multiple different combos.
Yes.
Yeah, so you really have your pick of the litter here. Have to imagine that the people or person who made this deck, this was no accident, right? You don't get 18 combos by accident.
No, Scott knew what they were doing.
Absolutely. And this, it's, I think that this has enough combos that even if you don't have them pulled up on Commander Spellbook, or even if you don't know them all, you might just end up finding one by accident.
Right. And that's why we do this. I'm like, oh, this feels like a combo-y centered deck, or at least it can be. Well, 18 combos found, and not all of them all depending on one specific card, sounds like it makes sense. Intruder Alarm, of course, in here.
Yeah, Intruder Alarm plus Shrieking Strike. Anything. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so, Intruder Alarm with anything that bounces.
Mike, there's a second part of this list that, wow, it's a lot longer than the top part. There are almost 200 combos that could be in this deck if one card were added. Now, this is a long list, but if any of these, like, huh, that sounds like a pretty fun card to add, any of these jumping out here?
The meanest one.
Yeah, Intruder Alarm plus Torpor Orb. Yeah, that's a thing.
That's gross. So here's the thing. Here, you know what? I'm gonna lean into it, and it's gonna feel gross for me for a second, but it's necessary. So part of the social contract is controlling a lot of things on the battlefield and having people have a good time. It's also deciding when people don't get to have a good time anymore in playing stacks. So Intruder Alarm plus Torpor Orb, Intruder Alarm and Torpor Orb on the battlefield. One, Intruder Alarm's first ability prevents creatures from untapping during their controller's untap step. Two, because Torpor Orb prevents abilities from triggering whenever a creature enters the battlefield, Intruder Alarm's second ability does not trigger to untap them. So creatures don't untap during their controller's untap step. However, you have so many untappers in your deck.
Yep.
So if you have the ability to give any of them Illusionist Bracers, or any of them the ability to do these things, or even just untap a Lundo, and that's the only thing you're worrying about, well, that's fine. A Lundo can keep drawing and tapping, or keep drawing and putting cards into exile with the time counters to hopefully be able to bring them back. Wow, Torpor Orb absolutely shuts things down with Intruder Alarm and, like, actually fits in this deck without too much of an issue.
And if you're feeling really mean, you can add in a card that animates people's non-creature permanents, like artifacts and lands.
And now none of their
things untap. And you have, gosh, you have everything you need to win through combos or combat. Torpor Orb basically turns Intruder Alarm into a stacks piece straight up.
What's the enchantment that turns all lands into forests and saplings or whatever?
Life from the Loam, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that. Yeah. But here's the point. There are ways to do it. So, there's an exorbitant amount of stuff in there right now.
Because there's so much combo potential, that also means that adding just a couple of cards is going to explode the number of combos that we can put in the deck. That is totally up to you. You want to add more combos, make this deck more synergistic, more powerful. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's totally up to the individual player.
Yeah, I mean, there's a laboratory maniac in this deck.
Yeah,
Scott knows what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
and Athassa's Oracle.
Well, and Athassa's Oracle. Yeah, I mean, like, and here's the thing. I don't think it takes. Okay, I want to phrase this correctly.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it takes an exorbitant amount of effort to get this deck to do the combo thing. I think you need a couple of pieces in place. As soon as you have those pieces in place, boom, everything's gone. I'm getting to my win con. Win con is on the
battlefield. Until then, you can just have fun. You can just be
giving
people mana. You can be untapping things. Have a grand old time.
Here's your extra cards, everybody. Here's your extra basics, everybody.
I'm countering your commander and giving you a treasure.
Yeah. Oh, hey, that's a little bit too much stuff that you're doing right now. We're going to go ahead and give you a...
How about we enter the next phase of the game, a.k.a. whoops, all of my Simic cards are now infinite combos.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Interesting deck here. Definitely have some solid options. Mike, did you have anything you wanted to talk about with regard to the deck?
No, I'm excited to... We'll have the actual deck list together. I have to re-listen to us talk about it, I can actually get all of the swaps and the maybe piles and everything like that. We'll post the original that Scott gave us to work with, and then I will do the same with our kind of, not updates, but our alternatives to make this a group huggy, shaman, pseudo suspend kind of deck. I like it. This is fun. I don't know that if I was gonna run combos, like specifically a combo deck, I think I would have a fun time doing this.
Yeah.
Because I like the tap to untap to tap to untap to tap to untap stuff. It just makes me feel like I've made a cool engine.
I think you got, if you can afford it, you got to throw the Isochron Scepter in there. There are so many one mana instants in this deck.
Yeah. And oh no, I didn't get Dramatic Reversal. Okay, great.
Oh, I got one of my other 20 cards that does that.
I just got Mobilize and oh no, here's
Well, now it does have to be an instant.
Haha. Yes.
Yes.
You're right. But you know what I'm saying.
We have options.
There's stuff.
Yeah.
There's stuff. Very cool. Cool. Well, Alex, if anybody had any questions about how suspend works when it's not suspend, or why is Scott doing all of these tappy, untappy shenanigans, and I don't understand how they work, but I know I'm about to lose, how would they find you?
Well, Mike, I sure hope you know how tapping and untapping works, because that's the Savala deck that we were looking at the other week. So if you don't know how that works, I don't know if we're going to have a problem. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at my handle, Lapermedic, LAPPERMEDIC. You can find all of my projects at my website, lapper.gay, LAPPER.GAY. And as I mentioned earlier in the episode, website that I run, thecommanderspellbook.com, we are the search engine for EDH combos. Whether you love them or hate them, we can help you put them in. We can help you take them out. And if you're looking for some nice combos for this deck, for your deck, or just the latest combos that have come out, I think we're on Thunder Junction's combos are still there until... Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been getting some leaked cards, but most of those probably are not in there yet. But it's always going to have the latest set. So that's Commander Spellbook. Mike, this was so fun. I know you have work in front of you, but I think the end results, hopefully our patron is going to be really happy. And to our listeners and to our other patrons, we will take care of you. Just tell us what to do and then pay us some money and we'll do whatever you want.
Well, preferably pay us some money and then tell us what you want us to do.
Yeah, I mean, whichever, but, you know.
But yeah, honestly, at the same time, you come up with a cool idea. Depending on how busy of the Magic season is, we might do it anyway. Let us know.
Many episodes on the list. Yeah. I don't know what, and we have multiple guests lined up too. We need to get some guests on here that have written some fantastic articles. We're going to talk to them. Yeah, Mike, this great idea here. We're looking at Carpet of Flowers. I know Mike's about to pick that card up.
Yeah, no. I to everybody who doesn't know, I am sharing my screen with Alex for him to see the deck list and everything like that. Right now, he's looking at my shopping cart with Carpet of Flowers because the card has come down enough.
That's over wild time. To me. Look at it went down and it came back up again.
So
yeah, but look at where it was.
Yeah. In the last 3 months, it's gone up by a full $1.20. Okay,
right,
cool.
But it came
down. It's gone down by like $7.
Yeah, I remember this being in excess of $15.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, this card is so powerful. If you don't have a carpet of flowers in your green deck, think about it.
There you go. Thanks for listening, everyone. Once again, you can help us out by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/thesocialcontract. If you're not in our Discord server, follow the link in the show notes to get there. Discuss things like this. There, you can tell us how we screwed up Scott's deck, or we made Scott's deck awesome.
Huge shout out to our Discord. Or Scott can tell you
how. Yeah, and just hang out with us, and hopefully you're out there, you're playing Magic, you're playing with cool cards, and you're seeing things that you want to do. And until then, we'll talk to you soon.